Ever since he died, admirers of Pope John Paul have been urging the Vatican to elevate him to sainthood. As the throngs jammed St. Peter's Square, mourners raised banners reading Santo Subito, or Saint Right Away. To find out how quickly the Roman Catholic Church might be able to confer sainthood on John Paul II, we've called Father Richard McBrien. He's a professor of theology at Notre Dame University. Welcome.
Happy to be on your program, Jennifer.
Can you walk us through the process of elevation to sainthood? What happens first?
Well, first of all, someone has to be nominated. The process begins with someone is appointed to do a preliminary investigation. And that preliminary investigation, you know, studies, first of all, the writings of the candidate. But let me step back, because this is very relevant to that sign that one saw in the St. Peter's Square during the funeral, Santo Subito. Make him a saint now, or saint now. The rules of the church, which John Paul II himself revised in 1983, are that the process cannot even begin until 5 years after the death of the person that you're considering making a saint. So it would be against the rules. Subito is against the rules.
Pope John Paul aside, I want to get a little bit more of how this process works. After someone's nominated, then comes beatification, and here's where you need a miracle.
Well, first of all, if your cause is accepted by the bishop of the diocese, in this case it would be the pope, then you're officially called a servant of God. Then the next step, you become venerable. If they investigate and you seem to be a person of heroic virtue, but still no miracles, you're called venerable. The next step beyond venerable is blessed, beatification. For beatification, you need one miracle. So then you're blessed. Now, Pope John XXIII is blessed. And Mother Teresa is blessed. She's on the basis of one authenticated miracle. So then the next step is canonization. But for canonization, you need to have another miracle that's attested and adequately established as such. You know, then they review the process again, making sure they haven't missed anything. And then it goes to the Congregation for the Causes of Saints. And from that point on, if the congregation recommends canonization, then that recommendation goes to the Pope. Only the Pope can authorize a canonization. It's a complicated process, and that's why Santo Subito is naive and impractical. There's reason for a process. I mean, I don't mean to be flippant, but even the major leagues, the baseball major leagues, require that a baseball player be retired for 5 years before he can be considered for election to the Hall of Fame. There's a reason for that. You know.
Well, tell me why. In history, there have been some problems, right?
Yes, of course. I'm not saying John Paul II. There's some secret scandal that they're going to uncover. But there's a reason for the rule. And John Paul II himself affirmed it. The reason is, be careful about making decisions so important about making a saint that you make them in the enthusiasm or the euphoria of the moment.
John Paul II beatified or canonized more Roman Catholics than all his predecessors combined, as I understand.
All of his predecessors from the time in the 16th century when they began doing canonizations according to a formal process.
Why do you think that he did that?
I can give you the pious answer, and then I can give you a much more hard-edged answer.
Okay.
The pious answer is, because he wanted to emphasize the importance of spirituality, of our quest for holiness, that the whole point of the church's existence, the whole point of our being as Christians is to achieve sanctity. And he wanted to hold up as many models or images of sanctity as he possibly could.
And the hard-edged answer?
The hard-edged answer is that he also was trying to make a point that sanctity and holiness is of a particular kind. And so by canonizing mostly, overwhelmingly, bishops, priests, and nuns, he was perpetuating the notion that real sanctity is achieved by people who separate themselves from the world. You know, anyone can give you lots of numbers. Well, wait a minute now, he canonized a couple of hundred lay people, yeah. But these were in large groups of martyrs who are really nameless. It was not that they lived ordinary lives, got married, had children, had grandchildren. They're saints. Not because they lived ordinary lives in an extraordinary way, but because they were martyred.
Father Richard McBrien is a professor of theology at Notre Dame University and the author of Lives of the Saints. Thank you very much.
Happy to be with you.
To hear more of Father McBrien's thinking about those Pope John Paul II elevated towards sainthood, you can go to our website, npr.org.